This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
I think we have to maybe change that intro. I don't like that down, you know, striking the ball crisply with character thing. I've become more of a nipper in my old age. Kind of nip the ball off the turf. Striking down with character. It hurts my right hand. All right. Hello, it's Hardy. Welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. We have a guest joining us at 8:30 this morning by the name of Will Gordon. Will Gordon, who had a very nice finish at the Travelers. He's earned himself some playing time on the PGA Tour this year. It'll be instructive, I think, to talk to Will and find out how he got in, what that means for him, and what that means as a guy who's used to playing his golf on something like the Korn Ferry Tour, to see if he can get himself PGA Tour status this year based on sponsor exemptions and then really, really good golf. I mean, the sponsor exemptions will only get you so far. Can you play some really, really good golf to earn your way onto the tour full time starting next season, which of course begins almost immediately after this season ends? And this year, who knows? I honestly do not know. It changes all the time. So we'll talk with Will Gordon coming up here at 8:30. Also this morning, I want to talk to you about some games to play on the golf course. In addition to your golfing game, more like gambling games. And this would be good for the guys who just finished up, for Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. You know, as these guys like to bet on everything, but betting on the golf course, I think it's confusing for some people. I think it's one of those things about golf that maybe intimidate isn't the right word, but it makes people think like maybe they don't know how to participate in the reindeer games. And I'm not going to go through the explanations, but I'm going to ask you to explain your favorite golf gambling games, which I think is a much better idea than having everyone call in with their favorite swing tips. I got yelled at by so many people last week. It was such a horrible, irresponsible idea. Don't worry, we're going to do it again at some point. Have everyone just call in and just flood your ears and brains with swing tips. But this week, we're going to do your favorite gambling games to play on the golf course. By the way, one of the people who really disliked that was Stephen Daly. He's the head pro over at the Cape Club of Sharon, who just mocked me ruthlessly. But Stephen and John Carbo, who are both instructors over there at the Cape Club in Sharon, I gave them the choice, and it's not a good one. I said to those guys, look, I need to work on my game, seriously. You know, after that exercise last week of just asking everyone to call in with their swing tips, I said, you know what, this is my problem. This has been my problem for years now, in that I get all this information, you know, in bits and pieces from instructors, you know, good teachers that I talked to throughout the course of doing this show for 7-8 years now. You know, watching the Golf Channel, reading tips here and there. And I've got all this mishmash mush in my head, and I really need to just focus in on one person who knows what they're talking about, who can help me with my game. And this started last Saturday. If you were listening last Saturday, I said, oh, I'm going to get out and play nine holes with Wallach later today. And it was a nightmare. Not Wallach. He's a delight. But the actual round, it was one of those nine holes where I didn't know how to hit a golf ball. I don't know. I stood over the ball thinking, okay, what do I do? You've had those days, I'm sure, if you've played. How do I start this thing? What do I do? You've got so much going wrong and so much in your head that I just didn't I didn't know what to do anymore. I couldn't hit the ball. Could not hit the ball. So I went into the shop there at the Cape Club, and I said, look, one of you guys has to help me. And flip a coin, pay the other one off so he doesn't have to do it. I don't care. I said, but, you know, let's get to work on this thing. And I promise, this is the promise I made to them. A, I will do what you tell me. B, I'll keep my mouth shut, which is going to be really, really hard. But I will try. I will do what you tell me. I will keep my mouth shut. And more importantly, I will not seek out any other tips, advice, anything. I won't so much as look at a Golf Digest. If it's something other than a player profile or just a silly column on something having to do with the tour, I will not look at anything else. But I need to do something. I have yet to hear from Stephen or John. This was 3 days ago. They got other things on their mind. They got the big member guest coming up next week. No, I'm not playing in that. I don't know which one drew the short straw on this. And I had thought about doing this earlier in the year before COVID set in. My idea was to embark on something that I was going to call the single digit project, where for the first time in my life, I wanted to get down to a single digit handicap by the end of the season, which doesn't seem insurmountable. If you look at my index right now, which I just did, I opened it up on the Gin app that I have on my phone, and I haven't posted a ton of scores this year, but right now, according to this thing, this is ridiculous. It says I'm an 11.5. There is no way in hell. And to me, that means if I go out and play really well, I am capable of shooting something around 86, 87. I do not know that I'm capable of going out and shooting 86, 87, or excuse me, 11.5, no, 83, 84. 83, 84? You think I could go out and turn in an 83 or an 84 right now? No. You know, the one nine-hole score that I posted this year, which was legit of a 39, was that's the fluke. The 45, it feels legit right now. I feel like a bogey golfer right now, but I want to be a single digit. The single digit project. Now, given a whole season, I think that would be a reasonable goal with the right instructor and putting in the time and the effort. And like I said, you know, keeping my mouth shut and not seeking out any other instruction. Fine. Now we're leaving ourselves only a couple of months to do it. Will we be able to do it? We'll find out if either one of those guys decides to take me on. So I'll let you know how that goes. Hopefully we'll be starting by, say, this time next week. In the interim, let's turn our attention to the tournament going on right now, the Memorial. Presented by Nationwide. Round three happening today. And right now, looking at the leaderboard, as you may have heard Joe Murray say in the headlines there, Ryan Palmer and Tony Finau are tied atop the leaderboard at 9 under par. Palmer with a 67-68. Finau, who went out and was lights out in the first round, 66, posted a still respectable 69 in the second round. Those two are tied atop the leaderboard. John Rahm, Bob Soucy's favorite golfer, 8 under par, and then a slew of guys anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 strokes off the lead, including Jason Day, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, who turned in a pair of 70s, and Victor Hovland, who had, I don't know if you saw any of the tournament yesterday, he had a really impressive 66 in his second round, as did Danny Willett. But to me, the story of this tournament has to be Bryson DeChambeau. And what's going on with Bryson? Now, we know that Bryson is playing some outstanding golf this year. Bryson, who has put on 40 pounds of various body mass, you know, muscle and some other stuff. He's a big fella now, okay? You know, he's eating 3 eggs with bacon and toast and a protein shake for breakfast and then whatever he wants for lunch and dinner and protein shakes thrown in. He has just put on weight and he is just smashing the ball. Some of the driving stats from Bryson DeChambeau, you got to take with a grain of salt. I don't think they take into account him cutting off dog legs, but let's just say he's had multiple drives of over 400 yards. 400 yards! He had one in the first round at the Memorial on Thursday, over 400 yards. Now, if you're doing this as the crow flies as opposed to the duck walks, yes, okay. You know, mapping the hole with the dog leg, it was 400. He's still smashing it, even if you take into account him cutting off the dog leg. Okay, that's not truly 400. It's still 350 plus, and they're in the fairway. He is threading a needle with these drives. It's unbelievable. And then yesterday, during the second round, Bryson blew up on the 15th hole in the second round yesterday. He carded a 10 on a par 5. He ended up shooting 73 in the first round, 76 in the second round. He missed the cut, and you can pretty much point back to that. If he makes par on that par 5, he ends up shooting a 71, and he's playing this weekend. The cut was 3 over. And Tiger Woods is playing this weekend. He didn't play all that well. He's 3 over par. He shot 71, 76. He's in. Bryson is out with his 73, 76. And you can just point to that 10 that he made on the par 5 15th. So I'm not going to take you through shot by shot because, quite frankly, I did not watch the entire thing start to finish. One of the reasons why I did not watch it start to finish is that it took 26 minutes for him to play this hole. According to the Twitter feed at No Laying Up, it was 26 minutes, 4 commercial breaks. He hit 3 woods from the rough. 2 of those went OB. He brought in 2 separate rules officials, found the penalty area once, 2 putts. He didn't 4 putt to make a 10. 2 putts to card a 10 on the 15th hole. But the real moment of this blow-up hole that Bryson DeChambeau had yesterday came when he asked for a ruling as the ball had rolled underneath this fence. And we have the audio from it. Tucker, if you could roll the audio here of him talking to the rules official. This kind of sums up what's going on with Bryson right now.
So touching the line, right? Can I hop the fence and hit it from the other side? It's touching the line.
Well, the boundary is...
No, it's touching the line.
The boundary is the inside edge of this fence post.
Dude, you're kidding me. So you're saying that even though, so if you had a white post right here, even if it was on the back edge of the post, so you're saying that I don't believe that. Can I get a second ruling, please? Thank you.
I don't believe you. Now, these rules officials are not, infallible. You know, these are not perfect human beings. But this is what they do. I mean, these guys know the rules. And the rule... You're OB here. You can't. You can't hop the fence, go on the other side, and hit the ball from out of bounds. You can't. No. I don't believe you. Okay. Well, Bryson, some things are true whether you choose to believe them or not. So they brought in the other rules official. He told them the same thing. And he ended up making a 10 on that hole. Now, this is where you see Bryson start to unravel. He cannot believe. He is such a slave to the science and to his methodology that he cannot conceive that something is going wrong with his game and his process. You know, everything he does, he does for a reason. His methodical, painstaking approach around the golf course. So the fact that he ended up, you know, hitting these three woods out of the rough and they're going out of bounds, and he can't believe it. Maz texted me last night, and this was before I turned it off, and I wasn't watching it at the time. So I had to get a little caught up. Maz said to me last night, DeChambeau is going to have a nervous breakdown. And then he said, I'm not joking, he's losing his mind. And I thought he was, at first I thought it was hyperbole, you know, so this guy's going to have a nervous breakdown. You watch this and see him start to unravel a little bit, and we saw him unravel a couple of weeks ago when he was angry at the camera guy who dared take pictures of him while he was playing golf in a tournament. I don't know. Bryson wants all the attention when he's able to tell you what he's doing is changing the game of golf. He does not want the attention when things are going poorly for him. And we saw that again yesterday when his caddy walked in between him and a cameraman. I mean, walked right up to the cameraman and walked in front of him to the point where I thought the caddy was going to hit the guy's camera with his bag to keep him from getting a shot of Bryson. And we heard it again there as Bryson is just, he's indignant. He can't believe it. He can't believe it. I don't believe you, he said. I don't believe you. Can I get another ruling on this? Now, Jack Nicklaus, who is, you know, the host of this thing at the memorial, he said yesterday during the telecast, he's entitled to ask for a ruling. I don't blame him. It is the manner with which he is asking and the body language, and you can hear it in his voice. He's losing it. And this is a guy who has done something that has not been done in a long time, which is leading the tour in both driving and putting. He is leading in at least during the Rocket Mortgage and consistently gaining more strokes against the field for both driving and putting. It's just something that doesn't happen. And he's doing it, and he still becomes unraveled when things don't go his way. I don't know what's going to happen with Bryson beyond this. My guess is that he will rebound and we will see him play well again as early as next week, and that it won't be an issue for him going forward. But should this happen again, Maz's prediction might come to fruition, and that is he's going to have a nervous breakdown. Yeah, that guy is wound tighter than a snare drum. And I don't know how you can make a career playing golf at the highest level when you are wound that tight. So much of the game is about the breaks, the good ones that you don't deserve, the bad ones that you do deserve, and vice versa. Bad breaks you don't deserve and good ones that, whatever. How do you deal with them? Bryson got a couple of bad breaks yesterday and he couldn't deal with it. He could not deal with it. And that, when you get to that level, I've heard this said from many players and many times, it's like, it's just, yeah, you just got to move on. You know, that shot's in the past. You got to keep moving. He could not leave it alone. All right. Let's see what you think in terms of getting out on the golf course and maybe having some fun when it comes to laying down a few bets. Okay. I like a game called Wolf. I'll tell you what that is. If you've got a game that you like to play, we want to hear about it next. 617-779-0985. And as I said, coming up at 8:30, a player by the name of Will Gordon will be joining us here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Consider us your radio caddy. The Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Games to play on the golf course, other than the golfing game, of course. 617-779-0985 if you have a suggestion for us. I have two suggestions I want to make to you. And we may have to put this off a little longer, Tucker, because, like I said, Will Gordon's going to be joining us here right around 8:30. And I don't want to keep him waiting. But there are two games I really like. One of them I've played several times. The other one, I've only done this a time or two. In basic match play, and again, I say this because, you know, golf is it can be intimidating for new players. Like, you know, what's the etiquette? Where do you go? Where do you stand? All that. But even things like, what do you do when you get out there other than just count your strokes? If you're starting to play a little bit, say you're Jason Tatum. You've been playing the game for 2 months. Guy's got a great swing. He's already making good scores. Now people want to play matches and they want to have some fun. Well, what do you do? You know, how do these things work? There's more people playing golf this season than probably any season in the last 10. So what do you do out there when it comes time to make things interesting? One of the things you can do is, if you have four players, you don't have to play a two-on-two match, right? And in match play, it doesn't matter what your total score is for the nine holes. It's just whoever wins the hole, right? And you can play it as three separate matches. You can play the first nine holes, the second nine holes, and then the total for the 18 holes. All right, that's the pretty standard front-back total. But if that seems like that's a little too us against them, change it up every six holes. This is a great game to play. If you've got four guys and you're into a rut as playing one, you know, these two against these two every single time you go out and play the first six holes with the two guys in the same cart together. And then the next six holes you play and you change up the teams and you play three matches, changing the teams every six holes. It's a great way to play, and it doesn't matter what your handicaps are or anything. You can change that, and you can figure that out as you go. But I've played this before, and I have ended up playing, you know, as you know, the worst player in the group or one of the worst players in the group, which I generally am. And in the last six holes, if I'm paired up with the other worst player, or worst player, I should say, We could, you know, by the time you're warmed up a little bit and you've got some juices flowing, you can give those guys a run over the final six. So that's a good game to play. The other one that I really like is Wolf. Now, this may be a little complicated to try and explain, and it's much easier once you're doing it on the course. But if you've got four guys and you're playing Wolf, beforehand, you just decide what the order is. One, two, three, four. Okay. That's the order. It's a batting order, essentially. And if you're number one, you tee off first. Whoever is number two can say, you know what? I like where his tee shot is. He's my partner on this hole. And now we're playing a match, me and him, against the other two guys. If you don't like what he did, you can hit your tee shot. And then whoever goes third gets to choose. You understand what I'm saying? And then if you are going off first and you like your tee shot, or you're the fourth guy, you can call yourself the Wolf at some point and say, you know what? You guys all hit your tee shots so poorly, I'm just going to go ahead and take on the three of you by myself. That's where it gets really interesting. Now, the scorecard looks like the periodic table of elements when you're all done with, you know, who owes who to what, and, you know, what was won on this hole with what team. But it gets borderline unfriendly when you become the Wolf, because if you lose that hole, you owe everybody. But it can also be very profitable, because if you playing as the Wolf against the other three guys, if you end up winning, they all owe you on that one hole. But like I said, once you factor in the juice, if you guys are playing, you know, closest to the pin, or you're playing, you know, extra money for Sandy's, you know, a bunker shot that you then either hole out or make the next putt on, things can get out of hand in a hurry. But Wolf is a great game, and it's even more fun when, if you're going to call yourself as the Wolf, you actually make it a rule that you have to howl, which I think is a good thing to do. Don't do it if somebody is teeing off on a tee box right next to you, or, you know, putting nearby. But otherwise, it's great. All right. So, like I said, I shouldn't have started this probably as early as I did, because Will Gordon's going to be joining us next. But we can get back to this a little bit later on. Will Gordon, who had a finish tie for third at the Travelers, made himself a big paycheck, and he celebrated by doing something that I don't know that any of us would do. But we'll ask him about that and everything else that's going on with him this season, coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Joining us now, Will Gordon, who is had a very nice finish, a tie for third at the Travelers not long ago. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will, thanks for being on the show here this morning. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, this has been quite a few weeks for you. I want to just bring everybody up to speed. Will, who's standout player at Vanderbilt and SEC Player of the Year and all this stuff, trying to make your way onto the tour in this very strange season. And take us through what happened, Will, how you got into the Travelers, and what happened once you got there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a weird year with, you know, the season being shortened and everything. So I'd gotten four sponsor invites prior to the Travelers and made some good momentum and knew I was getting close to being able to, you know, get membership out there if I had one more good finish, and lucky enough to get a sponsor invite into the Travelers. And really thankful to the tournament directors there for giving me the opportunity. And yeah, I was able to, you know, get in the final group on Saturday with Phil and Mackenzie Hughes, and had not a great day Saturday, but was able to bounce back on Sunday and shoot a final round 64 and you know, come in third. So it was a life-changing week, and looking forward to building on the momentum the rest of the year.
I was watching highlights from your final round there at the Travelers, and I believe your last putt, would you have like 2.5 feet maybe there on the 72nd holes? That sound about right?
Yeah, that was right. Yeah, I had about 95 yards in the green and was able to hit it in there pretty tight.
Which you did, but you stood over that putt for so long, and I'm thinking, I'm watching the putt, and I'm like, pull the trigger. What's going on? And then I see the thing break about 6 inches. It was 2.5 feet. I'm like, oh, that's why he was looking at it for so long.
Yeah, it was a tricky little one. But, yeah, I was definitely excited it wasn't any further.
No. Well, listen, this is cool because this now gets you some momentum, like you said, for some upcoming tournaments. So, you know, status-wise on the PGA Tour, it's a mystery to most people. I don't think they realize what a grind it is for players like you who are trying to make your way on there. So a tie for third at the Travelers in that field, that's an amazing accomplishment, but it doesn't exactly get you into every single tournament from here on out for the rest of the season. Number one, there aren't that many, and number two, there's still, like, a process going forward, right?
Correct, yeah. So basically, it does put me in a kind of a reshuffle category. I think it's called like the outside 150 category. But and then hopefully, if I don't get in on that number, you know, get some sponsor invites. But I think I'm playing 3M next week, and then you know, most likely playing the Barracuda, and I'm definitely playing the Wyndham Championship. So it's definitely going to be a good building block to, you know, carry some momentum through the rest of the season, be able to kind of propel myself into the start of next year and be able to just have a more consistent schedule and be able to, you know, get used to being out there on a more consistent basis and trying to compete to win golf tournaments instead of just getting out there.
Exactly. Will Gordon is here with us, who, by the way, one of your sponsors, I believe, is the Athletic Brewing Company. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
They've been on with us before, kind of an interesting company there with the non-alcoholic brews, but they're like high-end non-alcoholic beers. Is that something you enjoy when you're home in North Carolina, sitting by the lake, kicking back a nice cold non-alcoholic brew?
Yeah, I think, you know, it provides a unique opportunity to be able to, you know, not sacrifice any recovery. Or when I'm home, I'm in the gym a lot trying to get my body right to go out there on the road for a couple weeks. And you know, you can lose a lot of that progress you made if I'm sitting back and having a couple, you know, IPAs or whatever. And I think Athletic has done a really good job at finding that market and finding that sweet spot to kind of be able to enjoy that taste of a good strong beer, but not, you know, relinquish any recovery or anything like that. So super excited to have them as a partner. It's been a fun couple weeks.
Yep, they're good people. We've had them on the show here before. All right, Will Gordon is, as I said, from North Carolina. I understand one of your favorite athletes, at least up until recently, was Cam Newton.
Yes.
And as this show originates from Boston, and you are right now, Will, on the flagship station for the New England Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are the Patriots This is, you are in a sense right
I'm
now
in enemy territory.
Listen, you're on Cam Newton's radio network now. We think we don't know. I mean, is he on the team or not? We're not sure. But are you still a Cam Newton fan?
I mean, I think I'll always be, you know, a fan of his in the way that like, he changed the Panthers and was able to, you know, really take us to a new level for a couple of years. But I mean, I'm a Panther fan through and through. So once y'all got him up there, I still, one of my first football memories is when y'all beat us in the Super Bowl, I think in 2004, I believe. So, I mean, I still got some bad blood over that one, and we don't get to go to Super Bowls like you do. So, you know, I wish him the best up there, but I'm going to have to ride with my new quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know what the feeling is. Now, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is a guy that I think has a lot of potential, but it had to have made some people scratch their heads. If you were a Cam Newton fan, said, hold on a second, you're not going to pay Cam, but you're going to pay Teddy, and you're going to pay him more, and he wasn't the MVP in 2015. I mean, you had to second guess that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of second guessing going around the Charlotte right now with the football team. I mean, there's a, you know, we got a new coach. Ron Rivera was one of the most popular people in the Carolinas, and you know, Luke Kuechly's gone, Greg Olsen's gone, everybody's gone. So I think we're kind of starting from scratch, but hopefully it's going to be a new and exciting process for the next couple of years.
All right, Will Gordon. So you're playing the 3M next week. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm playing the 3M and then the Barracuda the next week and then the Wyndham Championship as the final event of the regular season.
Now, some of these guys you're going up there against and you're trying to, and again, a tie for third of the Travelers. People know that's, you know, how good that is, but you're going up against literally now the best players in the world. And you yourself, with your official world golf ranking, now put yourself, you know, for whatever that means, into the top, you know, couple hundred best players in the world. Is how much of an advantage is it to go and compete against these guys on these courses when they've played these courses before? And for all I know, you've played them all before too, but you know, at least for the veterans that you're going up against, they had to have played them at least more, or maybe you haven't played them at all. Have you played each one of these courses? Is this something that's going to be brand new for you when you get there, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it varies from tournament to tournament, but I mean, there's a lot of places I've never played before, just because college golf kind of repeats the same schedule, so you get used to those golf courses. But out here, you know, they're pretty consistent too. So I haven't played a lot of them. I heard some stat at Travelers. Like I was playing with Phil on Saturday, and you know, Phil had won the Travelers I think a couple times before I was even born. So he's been playing that golf course for like, you know, 27 years, and I think there is an advantage there. But also, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is trying to use my youthfulness, and I don't really have, you know, a whole lot of expectations going into that week. So being able to use that and take everything as new, and I don't have any good or bad memories there. So just trying to create good momentum and create good energy around the week is just something I try to do when I get there.
Well, Will, we like to have guys to root for in this game, and you seem like a guy to root for here going forward. And, you know, best of luck. Do you set goals for yourself? I mean, is the goal, you know, something as simple as winning a tournament? Or do you have secondary goals of, like, full-time tour status? What is it so we know what to root for you so we're all on the same page? What should we be rooting for in terms of your game right now?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I think the Travelers was, you know, got me that opportunity to be out there on a really consistent basis now. And so I think that, you know, the next goal would just be to try to get a win and try to get in those majors and try to, you know, like you said, being able to compete against the top players in the world is really a rush. Like I've really enjoyed, and something that's kind of why I play golf. And so just getting a win out there on the PGA Tour would allow me to get in the Masters and allow me to get in those majors and the World Golf Championships, and just being able to compete against, you know, the Rorys and Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods of the world, that would be, you know, the next step, and just being out there competing against them every week. So I think definitely a win would change a lot of things.
All right, we'll keep it simple. We'll just, you know, root for, you know, have that first place finish at one of these events coming up, hopefully sooner than later. And if you do that, maybe if we all do that for you, maybe you can find your way to root for Cam Newton, regardless of who he's playing for.
Yeah, exactly. We'll make a compromise.
Okay, sounds good. Will Gordon, and best of luck with Athletic Brewing. You're in with some good people there, so I hopefully that partnership continues as well. Will Gordon, best of luck going forward. Thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. Will Gordon, we will continue here in just a moment here on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Constantly hitting it from the rough, this is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back now in the Sports Hub Golf Club. I want to thank Will Gordon for joining us there. He's tied for third at the Travelers Championship. I forgot to ask Will about his big celebration with the check that he made. I mean, it's kind of coarse, isn't it, to talk about money with somebody who you don't really know. But his check was over $400,000. And it got him in to play the next week at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit. So he's at the Travelers. He's in Connecticut. He's got to make it to Detroit. He's got a $400,000 check in his pocket. So you know what he did? He got in a rental car with his caddy and drove from Connecticut to Detroit. I myself would have flown first class. But, you know, that's just me. He said, look, the whole COVID thing, keeping the circle small, it's working so far. You know, drove myself here, got, you know, been driving everywhere trying to make it. I'm not changing things up now. So he decided not to blow a bunch of money. He said he's just not in the mindset, you know, one $400,000 check. You know, he doesn't feel rich and he didn't feel like dropping, you know, $1,000 or more on one plane ticket. And he's like, no, I got this rental car. It's fine. We'll just drive. So that's what he did. A nice guy, though. I think he's, like I said, a nice nice to have something to root for out there. Speaking of money on tour, E. Michael Johnson, Golf Digest, wrote a column a few days ago. He said, you won't believe how many golfers have earned $10 million on the PGA Tour, but have never won an event. And I remember back in the day, like way back in the day, Tom Kite was the tour's leading money winner and one of the leading money winners on tour. And he just didn't win all that often, but a lot of top 10 finishes. And, you know, Tom Kite won a total of one major championship, I believe. His one U.S. Open was the only one that they've ever won. But he was so consistent and so solid that he was a guy who made a very nice living on tour, even in the 80s and early 90s, as a guy who just played good golf and made some nice checks. And that was it. But the prize money has increased, thank you, Tiger Woods, for all these guys, to the point where now you can go out there and there are a handful of guys, more than maybe you'd think and more than I thought, who have made real good money playing golf who have never actually won a tournament. Now, I still say that golf is probably one of the – it's one of the most lopsided sports in terms of the skill that it requires and the reward that you get for it. I mean, you think about it. The guy we just spoke with, Will Gordon, he is now, you know, officially, according to the World Golf Rankings, one of the top 200 golfers on the planet. And he'll be lucky to, in a sense, to even get to play professional golf full time. You know, he's going to need to keep playing well in order to keep that status and to make the money that, you know, any rookie would get in the NFL going forward, you know, beyond that one check that he made at the Travelers. But some of these guys, nine golfers have earned $10 million or more in their PGA Tour careers without ever winning an event. Who are these guys? All right. We'll start, you know, low and go up. Charlie Wee. That's W-I. Charlie Wee. You familiar with him? Don't worry. You don't have to be. Maybe the closest you've ever seen him close to winning, he lost by one stroke to David Toms back in 2011 at the Crowne Plaza Invitational. Now,
the 2012 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am was the one that he was probably even closer to because he had a three-shot lead after three rounds, but it's the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and who's really paying attention anyway? Okay. Another guy, Brett Quigley. Now, that's a name that you know. Brett Quigley has won over $11 million on tour. A lot of it has to do with 2006, where he had 10 top 10 finishes. He never won, though. You know, we were just talking with Will Gordon about playing in Puerto Rico. He almost won at the Puerto Rico Open in 2009, but nope, has never won. Here's another guy, a name that you know. If you ever do like a Masters draft, you look at him as a guy. It's like, oh, this guy's close. Maybe I should take Cameron Tringali, right? His name looks like triangle when you first glance at it. Cameron Tringali has won $11,400,000 on tour. But he just grinds it out. He's out there, you know, top tens, $2 million in earnings for the only time in his career in 2014. It was a great year, but no wins. There's another player named Jason Cockrack. I don't know. I have no idea who this guy is. I don't think I've ever seen this guy play, not in person. He played at the Northern Trust in 2016 and lost to Bubba Watson by one stroke. I would know this guy if he showed up at my house tomorrow. Jeff Overton is a name that I know. It's not a face you could recognize. He's made almost $13 million playing on tour. Here's the one that blows my mind. And Tucker, you watch a fair amount of golf, right? You ever heard of Brian? You ever heard of Brian Davis?
I have not.
Brian Davis, from 2006 to 2015, averaged 30 starts a year. He played 34 times in 2008. He came in second place five times from 2007 to 2010. He never made $2 million in any single season. He's made over $13 million playing golf. Brian Davis. Who the hell is Brian Davis?
Make all that money, no one recognizes you.
Brian Davis is probably living well somewhere. Like, who are you? Oh, I'm a professional golfer. Maybe you heard of me, Brian Davis. Nope. Maybe the one thing he's known for, and this is something that might, if you're an avid watcher of golf from the last 10-15 years, this was in 2010. He's on the final hole. He's in a playoff with Jim Furyk. This is at Harbortown. He went left of the green with his second shot, and he went up against the reeds. On his backswing, he hit one of the reeds, which at the time was a violation of the rules for grounding his club in a hazard. He got called in for an official ruling. They agreed it was a two-shot penalty. He called it on himself, but it cost him the tournament, and that was the closest he probably ever got to a win. Brian Davis, over $13 million on tour, and another guy I would not recognize if he showed up at my front door this morning. All right, that'll do it for the Sports Hub Golf Club for the week. Step aside, quick check of the headlines here, and then we will do 1 hour of Hey, It's Hardy. You've got the new intro ready to go, don't you, Tucker?
Of course.
All right. You know what? Silly me for asking. Hey, It's Hardy, a.k.a. Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show, a.k.a. Mimosas, coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.